units here primarily because there weren't many of these at baseline, and so there wasn't a whole lot that needed to be done with these hazards. The final group of hazards are the respiratory health hazards, and some of these items were only a priority for children with asthma. And again, most of these things were significantly improved, except for things that are difficult to do much about, like pets and tobacco smoke. The number of hazards with 36 overall, the average at baseline was 14, and it was reduced to 3.4 at post-intervention. So this was a 75% reduction in the number of hazards. This is pretty much a uniform. The structural, non-structural, respiratory health hazards all went down by about 75%. And parents reported, 97 reported that their homes were safer than before the project, and 96% reported that the health of their child with asthma was better than before the project. So the limitations of the study, well, first there was a short post-intervention follow-up period due to the length of the grant, so it only went out to 3 to 4 months post-intervention. Another shortcoming is lacking health outcomes. Although there was asthma treatment, we had a very limited amount of children with data for pre-intervention and post-intervention, so it really wasn't enough. And also lacking injury data. And there's a lack of a blinding in control groups. In summary, the project reduced the number of injury and respiratory hazards by 75%, and virtually all parents believed that their homes were safer and their asthmatic children were healthier. And this, there'll be an article coming out soon. You never know what soon means in journals, but in environmental health. Environmental research.
Of my presentation is about policy and environmental influences on physical activity in Bogota, Colombia. For this purpose, I will describe the social and urban characteristics of the Bogota, and I will present with Diana Parra the principal findings of the project entitled Influence of Built Environment on Physical Activity and Quality of Life in Bogota. This project was a team effort that involved the following institutions: the International Union for Health Promotion and Education, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, Fundación Fe Social, Universidad de los Andes, Pan American Health Organization, Corporación de Universidades del Centro de Bogotá, and Cadastro Office of Bogotá. Several members of the research team are present in this room: Olga Lucía Sarmiento, Diana Parra, John Schmidt, and Candace Ruth. Bogota, the capital city of Colombia, has almost 7 million inhabitants, and it is located at 2,600 meters of altitude, and it doesn't have seasonal changes. As a consequence of the rapid epidemiological transition occurred in developing countries, chronic diseases have emerged as a relevant health problem. And in Bogota, chronic diseases are the main causes of mortality. To put in context the city, let me show you very briefly some social indicators. In the graph, we can observe that the levels of poverty in indigence have dropped steadily in the last years. As well as the homicide rates, as we can see in this graph. However, this rate is far from ideal if we observe the rates of other Latin American cities as Lima, Buenos Aires, and Santiago. During the 20th century, Latin America has had a rapid urbanization process. Latin America is considered one of the most urbanized areas in the world. And the demographic growth of Bogota is an example of these phenomena. The urban development of Latin America has remarkable differences with respect to the Western Europe and North America. In an impoverished region with great economic, social, and environmental inequities, The urban growth has been characterized by its informality and lack of planning. This process was and is still so rapid and disorganized that doesn't allow for management and control with appropriate physical infrastructure. These circumstances, combined with other social and cultural factors, may explain in part the existence of the large and segregated urban settlements in Latin America. Taking into account this context, it is not a surprise that the majority of the residential areas were built by the owners until recent years, with marginal control of the urban authorities. In Bogotá, several normative and policy efforts have been made in the last 13 years in order to increase the mobility of the citizens, recover public space, and improve accessibility to recreational spaces. I will describe very briefly some of them. For example, Transmilenio was designed to give certain buses the exclusive right to operate in specially constructed lanes, allowing these buses freedom from the traffic congestion of private vehicles and other buses. The Ciclorutas project, the Backed Ways, is a network of nearly 300 kilometers of bicycle paths, which provides access to different destinations for work, study, and recreation in the cities, one of the most extensive backways network in Latin America. Ciclovía is an initiative in which approximately 112 kilometers of the main streets and avenues are closed to the cars on Sundays and holidays, allowing leisure activities such as walking, bicycling, and jogging. The first Ciclovía Day was carried out in December 1974, starting as a protest against the lack of recreational opportunities as well as pollution and traffic congestion. The city has launched an effort to recover public spaces that pedestrians had lost to street vendors, parked cars, and community fences that restricted access to public parks, with strategies such as placement of bollards to prevent cars from parking on sidewalks and the relocation of street vendors to special plazas. From 2001 to 2003, in a very short time, Bogota increased the green area per inhabitant from 2.5 to 4.12 meters square per inhabitant. Despite these advances aforementioned, this is only the beginning of a long process in order to have a more equitable and friendly city. Transmilenio was a very important change in Bogotá, but this has not resolved the serious mobility problem of the city in a developing country, and people perceive that its quality has worsened. Presumably, the bike paths have increased the use of bicycle in the city, but some tracks were not appropriately designed and have safety issues. The city has marginally increased, unfortunately, the green area per inhabitant in the last 4 years. Since the last 3 years, citizens perceive that the invasion of public space by cars has increased. And the improvement, finally, the quality of the air is a major challenge in Bogotá. In order to understand how some of the changes and other urban attributes are associated with physical activity and quality of life among adults, we carried out a multi-level cross-sectional study. To ensure variability of the community design, 30 neighborhoods were selected based on socioeconomic status, slope, proximity to Transmilenio stations, and public park provisions, taking into account that design. It was a multi-stage sample. To this presentation, these were the outcome variables. In utilitarian physical activity, having walked at least 150 minutes in the last 7 days, and having biked for transport during the last 7 days, at least 30 minutes. In leisure time, physical activity, having met the CDC recommendations of physical activity, and having participated in Ciclovía in the last 4 weekends. We should remember that Ciclovía is when the principal avenues are closed on Sundays and holidays. All the statistical analyses were conducted using HLM version 6. We obtained several indicators of the built environment using geographic information systems, taking into account the following dimensions: density, that is related with the compactness, as it was mentioned to Tom, diversity related with mixed uses of land. This is several pictures of the Bogota in different socioeconomic status, and the design of the urban environment. And finally, distance to transit to accessibility, taking into account the different typologies of the transport systems: Transmilenio, the feeder buses, the bike paths, and the conventional transport by buses. I'm going to present very briefly the principal findings of the study. We can see in this slide that street density was positively associated with walking for transportation, although the association was marginal. And we can see that the connectivity was positive associated with walking, as those people who live in geographic areas with a high connectivity index were more likely to walk. Slope of the terrain was negative associated. Transmilenio stations are positive associated, and feeder station, inversely, feeder stations negative associated. Very briefly, I would like to clarify that the distances between the Transmilenio stations ranged between 500 meters and even, you could correct me, 700 meters. Yes, the range. Yes, the range. And the feeder, the distances in feeder stations are shorter, an average 6 meters. Family car was negative associated with walking for transportation. Having bike at least 30 minutes, and we can see that the slope of the terrain was negative associated, the street density positive associated, the depth in traffic accidents was negative associated with biking for transportation, likewise the possession of family car, and men were more likely to bike as a means of transport than women. With respect to leisure time physical activity, the park density index was positive associated, as those people who live in neighborhoods with a high proportion of park areas were more likely to engage in leisure time physical activities. The slope of the terrain was negative associated in marginal way, and again, being male was positive associated with leisure time physical activities. Having participated in Ciclovía program, the existence of Ciclovía in the neighborhood was positive associated. Park area was negative associated. This is an interesting finding. Those people who live in neighborhoods with a park area of 2,500 meters square were less likely to engage in Ciclovía. We are going to discuss about that. Being male, positive associated, and family car, negative associated. Very briefly, I'm going to show you the main results and political implications of this finding. We can see in this slide the number of feeder bus stations, car ownership, and the slope of the terrain were negative associated, and the existence of Transmilenio stations, street density, and connectivity were positive associated. We would like to emphasize the potential positive and negative effects that have the design of transport systems in active transportation, in this case. In bicycling, we found that deaths in traffic accidents, car ownership, slope of the terrain were negative associated, and a positive association was found in street density and men. And we would like to emphasize in this case, in the case of bicycling for transportation, the need to implement traffic security strategies if we would like to increase the use of bicycling in our city. And we can see that we need to work in reducing the gender inequities. In leisure time, physical activity, perception of unsafety and a slope of the terrain were negative associated, and park density and men positive associated. It shows the relevance in investing parks if we like to promote the leisure time physical activity. Only the 8% of adults in Bogota met the physical activity recommendations in leisure time. People walked a lot by transport, but the leisure time physical activity is very low in our country. And there is an urgent need to reduce gender inequities. Diana Parra will talk about this aspect about gender inequities. Finally, ciclovia, park areas, and car ownership were negative associated, and being male, existence of ciclovia in neighborhoods were positive associated. I would like to emphasize in the fact that ciclovia is a relevant strategy in neighborhoods with low park provisions. We can't forget that the beginning of the ciclovia was generated as a protest against the lack of recreational spaces. Finally, what this study asks, this is the first study to our knowledge that explores the links between built environment characteristics with physical activity and quality of life from Latin America, and should be considered as the first exploration. The study has a multisectoral approach, drawing upon the knowledge and experience of experts from public health, transportation, and urban design. There are several limitations in this study. The cross-sectional design did not allow us to infer causality. The survey was self-reported and may have induced recall bias. And I would like to emphasize that we obtained low response rates in some neighborhoods, and perhaps the statistical power may be affected. Future research, we need to identify other built environment characteristics that may be relevant from cities from developing countries, is other context. And we need to conduct the studies in subpopulation that may be more sensitive to built environment as older adults. In this moment, we are carrying out a study in older adults. Further studies should consider the influence that the built environment outside the place of residency has on levels of physical activity. And finally, we need to refine the design of self-reported instruments that measure physical activity in the context of studies that involve links between built environment and physical activity. Thank you.
Our program might be slightly different from some of the other ones we've heard about this morning. The program is called Environmental Action for Children's Health, and our motto is that each child deserves a healthy home. This was a coalition of public, private, and housing and health entities. The contributing authors to the study were Lisa Smestat, who's was meant to be here today, Kay Kufal, and she works with Pediatric Home Service, which was a respiratory therapist, medical provider, Jim Yannarelli, who works with St. Paul Ramsey County Health Department in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Angie Carlson, who did all of our data analysis from Data Intelligence Consultants, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Our program really encompassed, had a two-prong approach, and that is we sent out an environmental inspector to each home as well as a respiratory therapist to do an assessment of the home and assessment of the child's asthma, the management of their asthma symptoms. And we call this the Minnesota model because it really has been successful in many different ways, getting involved and getting those housing inspectors and code compliance officers involved, as well as the respiratory therapist, and getting everybody out to the home at the same time. This is a health outcomes study. Let's see if I can adjust this. There we go. Which began at the baseline assessment, and we continued up to the 12-month mark with all of the families that were enrolled. We did talk with the families 3, 6, 9, and 12 months afterwards. And this is the abstract that I believe is published in the bulletin somewhere. And it's just kind of some of the things that I talked about without all the paragraph. The activities began with our program, was 2003 through 2006. And the children were assessed and referred through physicians, schools. We also had weatherization programs, our housing departments, health departments, daycare associations.